Howdy and welcome back, everybody. Reed Kerr here for your readaboutit.com. And I say your because many of you have been doing more writing on it lately than I have. Yeah, I kind of fell off the national blog posting month bandwagon this last week. Things have been very busy, working on some other projects, getting ready for Christmas, etc., etc. The sun was in my eyes. You know, whatever excuse I can come up with. But the podcast today is about something I started to write about this past week, and I just didn't have the time to get all the words out. So, a subject near and dear to my heart, hard rock and heavy metal in the 1980s. Yeah. It comes up, of course, because Kevin Dubrow, lead singer of Quiet Riot, died this past week. Or at least we found out he died. They're not exactly certain of the time of death. But because of that, and because it was a slow news day, a guy who hasn't had a top 40 hit in 22, 23 years, something like that, was in the top 10 on Yahoo for the day, and they, you know, made all the news programs. And just one of those things that affected me a lot more than I thought it would. It's kind of like when, about, you know, 8, 10 years ago when Walter Payton died. You know, the people that you grew up with and, you know, buying the albums of and watching on television and, you know, watching them play sports, they shouldn't be dying. That means you're next. You know, so it did kind of got to me. But today I want to talk about the beginning and the end of hard rock and heavy metal in the 80s. And if you remember anything about that time frame, I'll tell you what, the people that killed, you know, what I considered, my generation considered good old rock and roll, the guys that killed it are still around, and they're still making hit records. And it is not the Nirvana guy. So that's, I'll get there in a second. Kevin Dubrow and Quiet Riot, I don't think they ever got the credit that they deserved, because they had that big album, and it kind of blew the doors open, and it opened up pretty much everybody else that would come out of Los Angeles, you know, with a guitar and a can of hairspray. Motley Crue and Rat and Great White and everybody else that would come out and, you know, had a couple hit albums after that. They all seemed to do better than Quiet Riot. I can't explain it. I thought the albums were good, but man, if that first album, it didn't sell very well. So they never really got the credit they deserved, but they never stopped touring. And, you know, Kevin Dubrow was thrown out of his own band a couple of times. But I'll tell you what, I saw him about 10 years ago on one of those tours where they just put musicians from the 80s together. You know, it was like Quiet Riot, Nelly Guns, and Warrant, and Slaughter, and the Rock Never Stops tour, or the Rock Never Bathes tour, or Rock Never Practices. I don't remember the exact name of it, but Quiet Riot was there, and they put on the best show of anybody, because basically they played the first verse and chorus of all of their songs. You know, and then they kind of went on to the next song. You never got bored. You heard just enough to remind you why you enjoyed the song, and then boom, they were gone. No guitar solos, no long, God help us, drum or bass solos. Just good entertainment. Put on a heck of a show. So, one last salute there for Kevin Dubrow. I'm going to dig out my Rudy Sarzo Target t-shirt at some point and wear it under my denim vest just for my final shout-out to the 80s. Now, finally, the thing that killed hard rock and heavy metal in the 80s. And I grew up as a little metalhead kid, and yes, I'm embarrassed by a lot of the stuff I used to listen to, but it died, and it died long before that grunge stuff hit in the early 90s. Here's my thoughts on it. There were two things that killed it. Number one, Def Leppard's Hysteria album. This album had like 37 hit songs off of it, and it was a good album, but because it took so long, because it was being produced by Mutt Lange, or Mr. Shania Twain as we know him, because of the injury to the drummer Rick Allen, where he lost his arm, everything was bigger than it should have been. There wasn't one guitar playing a G chord on some of those songs. It was 100 guitars. It was like a heavy metal wall of sound. The drums were electronic, and they sounded like they were recorded in a big aircraft hangar. You know, you hit the snare, and it would ring for 8 seconds. And everybody that came after that heard the album, and it was different from everything else that was going on, and they tried to copy it. And always, when you copy things, you just water it down. And so that's part one of what killed it. Part two, John Bon Jovi. Stay with me now. John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora did something that nobody else had ever thought to do, which is just play guitar and sing. MTV Video Music Awards 1987, they played Wanted Dead or Alive live acoustic. And because of that, because everybody saw that and thought that that was cool, everybody had to play acoustic. And John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora, you know, pretty talented musicians. You know, for a rock guitarist, Richie was a heck of an acoustic guitarist. I mean, he could play the heck out of that thing. But everybody that followed couldn't. And that kind of jump-started the the unplugged phenomenon. And there were guys that could play live and acoustic and sound good, and there were people that weren't, you know. I look back and I really enjoyed watching, watching Stevie Ray Vaughan play on the unplugged MTV shows. Watching the Damn Yankees and Great White play on there, not so much, because it really wasn't very good. It really wasn't very acoustic, to be honest with you. But everybody after that had to play acoustic. You know, they'd stop the show and come out with an acoustic guitar and sit, and they'd sing one of their hit songs, but they'd only sing it with nothing plugged in. And bands like Extreme and Mr. Big had one big semi-acoustic song, and it killed their careers. It simultaneously bought them houses and killed their careers, because nobody wants to play those songs over and over again for the rest of their life. You want to play them, you want to cash a check, and you want to get back to playing something else that makes the girls dance, basically. So there you go. I blame heavy metal in the 80s. Quiet Riot opened the door. Bon Jovi and Def Leppard nailed it shut. And then we had to sit through, you know, Winger and Trickster and all sorts of awful, awful bands until finally grunge music came in the early 90s and just wiped all that out. And then quickly became a parody of itself. And then it was gone with the first Hootie and the Blowfish album. Oh, I could go on like this for seconds. That's going to do it for the podcast today. Our final shout out to Kevin Dubrow and my 80s youth of hair metal. No, you don't want to see those pictures. Be back next Friday with more. As always, you can drop me a line, a comment here at readaboutit.com, or also at the email address snowfire51, S-N-O-W-F-I-R-E 51 @gmail.com. Until next week, thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed it. And as always, Seacrest out.